Welcome to the Amplifying Optimism in Education podcast, where we connect with educators from across the globe who are creating a better future for learning and educating now by implementing bold ideas and fostering a sense of curiosity, creativity, and possibility.
Alrighty. Well, we've got a special episode today. I'm here with the usual folks, Joshua and Pamela, but we have a special guest, Constantine, who, I'm just going to turn it over to Constantine for him to say hello and a little bit about himself. Hey there, Constantine. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm super excited. I've never done a podcast before, so I've been very, really looking forward to it. I'm Constantine Bays. I'm currently in college right now at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. And I've been Mr. Faden's student for probably 13 years.
Mm, wow.
13 There's, years now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's so special about having Constantine on the podcast today.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk about kind of the lessons I've learned, the most valuable things that I've gained from the whole process of learning under learning with Mr. Faden, and the impact that it's had on my confidence and my kind of my attitude and my mentality on future learning opportunities or challenges that involve learning different things, and the way I kind of go about it, the way I value it, and all that stuff. And I wanted to start off by talking about exactly the title of my chapter, which was the idea of valuing the challenge in the kind of process in your journey through building up your confidence constellation.
Yeah, and just I don't mean to interrupt you there. I just want to just point out for our listeners. So Constantine is in Joshua Faden's book, The Confidence Project. So Constantine, there's actually a chapter in the book, chapter 7. For our listeners, just wanted to point that out.
Right. Yeah. The chapter is called, it's titled Agamemnon. So I'm Agamemnon. For
you have multiple aliases.
Yeah. So in terms of building up my confidence, the biggest goal that I've reached, which I never actually set as a goal when, let's say I started working with Mr. Faden, it was never something that I kind of, when I was in sixth grade, for example, it's never something that I went and thought to myself, oh, I want to reach this level of being able to see any challenge and just thinking that it's valuable, like it's a something that I need to accomplish, you know. But it's something that as the years went on, at the end, I thought that like this is what I need, this is what I ended up needing, like this is what I this is what I need in my life to continue to be a strong learner, a strong student. And it's the goal that I needed to reach. It's the weapon I needed to have, you know, the tool I needed to, the tool that I needed in my tool belt, you know? So in terms of valuing challenges, it's been the biggest, as I said, the biggest tool in my tool belt in terms of being a confident learner and a strong learner, mm-hmm. because when you value a certain challenge, it's kind of as though you, let's say you find a sort of enjoyment in terms of its difficulty, but not necessarily its difficulty, but the result that it gives you, you know, mm-hmm. the reward that it gives you, because all these certain challenges, especially in an academic world, are give you a something new that you didn't have before. And it's something new, it can be something bad, but at least from the bad things you learn just as much. And if it's something good, then you gained another knowledge, another fundamental of your, another building block for what you want to learn and what you want to study. You gain another block. And let's say if the challenge, you go through the challenge and maybe you're not so satisfied, you learn from the fact that it wasn't satisfying, you want to maybe structure yourself in a different direction. So when I think about now how, if I'm presented with a challenge, there is no debate. Like, do I want to do this or do I not want to do this? There used to be a debate. There used to be, do I want to take this AP class? Do I want to instead do the regular class? But now, like, the debate doesn't exist because I would rather spend my time doing something that it gives me difficulty because I'm going to learn twice as much from it, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, just for our listeners, Constantine, this wisdom you have now, and this viewpoint you have now about confidence and about challenges and about, like you said, learning how to structure yourself in different ways. Take us back to, you know, the Constantine that isn't in front of us, that our audience doesn't know, the Constantine who maybe wasn't quite as willing to have that that acceptance of challenges in the tool belt.
Right. So the Constantine that maybe did not possess any of this knowledge was a Constantine that, in terms of his, who had a very lazy attitude towards curiosity or towards learning, and not oftentimes, but pretty much every time, would have chosen the path that was easier, the path that who would have invested his confidence, his energy, and his motivation in things that were more immediately eye-catching or immediately rewarding, or it could have been in sports, or it could have been in more like art classes and stuff, and more like immediately rewarding, without much thought to it, you know. So this Constantine would not have understood how different challenges can give you a reward, but the reward would apply to different contexts. And those different contexts would be just as helpful. So let's say maybe I would have invested more time in maybe art class that would have given me a nice drawing or a nice fundamental to or a nice precedent to being able to draw now, you know? Or what I didn't realize was how maybe if I were to have actually read the book that I was supposed to read in middle school, you know, there's been times where I've been just too lazy to even pick up the book. Old me wouldn't have realized that by reading that book, maybe I can engage in a completely new conversation with someone I see that reading the same book. I can learn a different perspective on that same book. I can connect with that person, open up so many more opportunities, and end up learning even more, and end up having it give me an even greater and more meaningful reward. So these different learning opportunities, the ones that are visually appealing, more easily emotionally appealing, give me just as good rewards, if not the ones that are less immediately appealing to my sixth grade eyes, it would have given me an even greater reward. So it's something that I didn't even realize when I was in these first phases. But then as I slowly grew and I matured and I started realizing I started to see how maybe anything that the teacher presents me with or any social situation presents me with, if by me investing my time in it, I can grow even more than if I had not done that. So it all depends on the different contexts and the ways that how old me didn't understand the value that was hidden beneath the like maybe these different rocks were all the different challenges I was presented with, and I was more attracted to the pretty rocks, and underneath I lift up the rock and there's not much underneath, you know, but maybe these less attractive rocks that looked in my eyes less attractive, underneath them were stacks and stacks of maybe memories or knowledge that I can use in the future, and even more enjoyment learning that because of the rewards that it, the skills it gives me. So then these uglier rocks, I kind of started to lift them up slowly. Maybe, oh, then I see all the rewards in this underneath this ugly rock. I'm like, wait, this rock maybe isn't so ugly, you know? Mm. Maybe these pretty rocks, what does it even mean? You know, the prettiness of the rock doesn't have much to do with the rewards and how much I learned from it, you know? Mm. So then I started lifting up more of these ugly rocks. Mm-hmm. And then these rocks don't even become ugly anymore, because now these rocks, which are the challenges, any challenge is something that I would look forward to. And Mr. Faden would tell you how, like, even sometimes I would come back from school and I'm like, and something like I have a big assignment or something, and I would be like, this is what I want to do right now, you know, and I need to get this, like, I want to start this right now, you know, because it's I was given the rock that's kind of ugly, but it's not ugly anymore. It's something that I want to lift it up. And maybe at the time I'm not strong enough to lift it up. So I would kind of help use Mr. Faden. It would kind of help me lift the rock up and see all the goodness underneath, you know, all the knowledge and all the, maybe it's extra confidence that I pick up to help me lift an even bigger rock next time, you know?
That's a beautiful analogy. I think we can all visualize that. And it's really good, that analogy of the good rocks and you know, the shiny rocks that maybe don't have anything underneath them. What might you say to teachers who are trying to engage students, what kind of ideas might you give to teachers to help them have students have the type of self-directed understanding that you have in learning?
Right. So looking back at my times and all the times that I've had in classrooms, let's say middle school and on, it's always been the same formula of students sitting in rows, straight, directly looking straight in one direction at the teacher. You sit in the same spot every time. You face forward, you watch the teacher write, copy down what the teacher writes, raise your hand, get called on, and do that. The bell rings, get up, you move to the next classroom, sit in the same desk, face forward, the same people next to you, rows organized, everything, raise your hand, talk, bell rings, same thing. And to me, like, I don't see how that is a system that that promotes confidence in the students, especially in terms of copying down exactly what the teacher says. And
yes,
live being in an environment that's the same every time, you know, you're not building your own way of thinking. Instead of having the teacher be the one that just spouts information to you and you having to write it down. Why can't tables be circular? You know, why can't the last time I've sat in a circular table was in elementary, something like that, you know? Mm. Why does it have to be, why can't it be like that anymore? Why can't it my last, all of high school, I've sat in the tiniest little desk. I've been by myself. Maybe we would put our desks together once a week to work on an assignment together, but it's not something that would happen often. The tables are never circular, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would say that the way teachers can include building confidence is to focus more on the student themselves instead of saying the information. Why does it have to be that the teacher says all the information? If you split up the time of talking during each classroom, the teacher talks for 90% of the entire thing. But where does the real learning come from? The real learning comes from the students having to ask a question and having to come up with the answer. Even if the student asks a quick question, the teacher gives the answer, it's still likely that the student doesn't understand it completely. Mm-hmm. So the students need to learn alongside the teacher, building as if they're both growing as flowers at the same exact rate. You know, it's not that one flower grows completely and the next flower goes slowly after it, trying to catch up. The teacher has to move along with the student, and the way you can do that is to encourage the students to talk, to reason their way up to the level of the teacher, because the teacher already knows, you know. So maybe instead of having the teacher being 50% or as being, sorry, 99% of the talking during the duration of the class, maybe what we the need to increase the confidence of the students is to maybe reduce the teachers down to 50 or even less, 30, whatever, and help have the students converse either within themselves or actually have more conversation-oriented class times to increase their confidence of the material. Because a lot of teachers even say in their assignments, they say that, or in their teachings, that a good way to learn, to have learned something, is to be able to teach it to someone. So a lot of times in your projects, you're telling the kids to do their research and then teach it to the class. And that's a good way to learn. So why can't you do more? Why can't you do more of that? Why do the students need to talk to in order to learn something, and more importantly, build their confidence? Because oftentimes when I've been in school, the most confident I've felt about certain materials were the materials that I've had to get up and teach to the class, you know? So maybe reducing the time, making it more cooperative, more learning cooperation between the teacher and the student, instead of just having the teacher above the class. More, it's as they're looking down, the teacher is above, literally sometimes on the stage, you know? Like, how is it? Maybe that's making you feel less confident, as though maybe by growing at the same rate, being able to talk just as much, to work through it just as much, you're bringing yourself and the teacher on the same level and having a more more clarifying discussion. So that's what I kind of think about if I were to think, how can I make the teaching environment more promoting of confidence, especially in the students? I would think about it in that way, you know.
Yeah.
I wish that every teacher could hear what you just said. Thank you.
Just jumping back a little bit. So And maybe this is an opportunity for Mr. Faden to hop in too. What, you know, just so our listeners really kind of understand some of the strategies that really brought you to where you are today. Let's talk a little bit about with our, you know, remaining time. Who were you as a learner before working on your confidence? And what were the strategies along the way that really helped you, regardless of sort of the educational environment, but is you, what were you able to do yourself? And again, Mr. Faden, feel free to hop in and as well.
So I'll just say that when I was at the beginning stages, my learning, I kind of viewed, as I kind of mentioned earlier, viewed these tasks as boring, and I don't care about it, so why do I have to learn it, you know? The strategy that I used was to make it, find a way, no matter what the way it is, maybe draw it, maybe think about it differently, or make a story, make a conversation building off of it, but find a way to make it interesting, make the material exciting, because there's so many rewards that come from making it exciting besides having actually learned the material and being able to use it to your advantage in the class. And now at the end, there to me, there's no other way to do it, to learn something, than to view it as exciting and view it as interesting, because at the end of the day, it's interesting to somebody, mm-hmm. you know? And let's say I'm learning about, I'm taking a class about like agriculture management or something like that at Cal Poly, which is a very agricultural school. Mm-hmm. I don't really find it super interesting, but there are so many people that find it interesting, and viewing it in a way that, in the way that they do, helps me, not only, yeah, I can do well in the class, but at the end of the day, I build a layer of empathy and empathy with the people that make their life revolve around it. You know, the same way my life revolves around something completely different. So mm-hmm. I can understand, I will understand them, build a layer of empathy, make more connections, you know, any element of conversation. Let's say I'm talking to someone, I make another friend because I understand, I found it interesting. And that's like, I mean, to me, learning like is a tool for you to be able to expand your not your impact, but more your friendship, your opportunities, you know, because you never know what that person can do for you in return. And so that's just one material. And if you find a way to make any material exciting, there are countless other opportunities, because let's say you find every material interesting, you can have at least one point of conversation with mm-hmm. anybody. And mm-hmm. and a lot of the times I've seen this impact in my own life, because after spending so many years training myself to find the, how is this interesting? How does this apply to people's life? Like, how is this actually fun? Because there's been times that I've said, how do people care about this? You know, like, how, why is this, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why people invest their time. But then at the end of the day, I find a way to make this interesting. I have, like, as though it's a constellation of different subjects, you know, I find a way to make all these different subjects interesting, and I know them and they stay with me, you know? And now I see people, maybe I meet somebody and they're studying this, they're studying maybe like something related to maybe psychology or something that I'm not as familiar with, or maybe something related to history, which was one of the classes that I struggled a lot with. And I have not only a point of conversation, but a point of empathy with them, you know? And then more bridges can be built, you know, and more worlds are connected.
And from a higher level, you know, what Constantine is really discussing here is what he and I have talked about a lot, which is the first couple of phases of the challenge cycle that he and I discuss all the time that's in the book is, you know, phase one is just increasing receptivity, you know, and getting students to even be open to the problems that they're facing. And then phase two is about increasing awareness. What do I even need to know about this? And so one of the things that I talk about in Constantine's chapter is really the fact that when you are an excited lifelong learner, as he's become, and as he's open to these opportunities that he talks about, it's being able to very quickly work yourself through the phases. So it's not that they totally disappear. They never disappear. Anytime you face a challenge, you always have to start with increasing your receptivity and increasing your awareness so you can start to manage your frustrations in phase three so you can get to what Constantine talks about, which is him valuing his efforts and him valuing the challenge itself. But what's so exciting is when you become that excited lifelong learner is you start to really immediately want to use your skills and strategies to be open to the challenge, to be able to learn about the challenge, to be able to see its benefits, to be able to understand what you need to overcome the challenge so that you can actually then go and put in the effort. And so that's the exciting thing. And that's the work that we've done for so many years that he's really taken to, and that he's kind of, you know, exemplifies this ability to really see a challenge and immediately start himself on his challenge cycle using his tools from the Confidence Constellation to constantly keep himself burning brightly and be excited. And that's what's so exciting for me, obviously, having worked with him for 13 years and seeing him now as a freshman in college really thriving. You know, it's having him be able to look at challenges in a different way. And, you know, so I love the fact, because as he made mention to, this wasn't always the case. And obviously 13 years of working together, I know for a fact that that is true, that it was not always the case, that there was often, well, this is a challenge and it's stupid, so end of discussion, we're moving on. And it was like, no, let's go back to that. You know, let's increase our receptivity to this challenge and let's work our way through this and become aware of it. So it's thrilling for me to kind of hear you, Constantine, talk about that constant level of excitement that you have. And so, you know, I am curious if you kind of, from your perspective, I'd love to hear, what was that like to actually build and level up to where you are, so to speak? So.
Yeah. So the way I just thought about this right now when you were talking, but the way I see it coming together is how, you know, a lot of kids and even kids my age like play video games all the time, you know, and in these video games, there's like a level one, level two, level three. And then at one point, you beat the game, so to speak, you know, you run out of levels. Like there's no more to do. The game is over. Like, you could replay it, but you already know what happens, you know? You've already finished. It's done, right? But to me, the way I see it now, as being able to have beaten, let's say, the different phases of the different journeys of your confidence building are the different levels of the video game. Once you reach phase five, valuing the challenge, it's kind of made it so that there's no more, like, the game never ends. Like, it's a video game that just never ends, you know? You can always continue. There's you can always develop further as a learner. Like, and at the end, you're given, you have a brain that can absorb so many things, and we don't even know how much we can know, you know? So why not use it to its full potential? You can talk to anybody in the world. You can learn a whole nother language, travel somewhere else. And that's a obstacle right there. If you want to, that's another level, and that level can take you forever. Once you finish, you can do something completely different, make even more connections and find more, even more interesting people and stories. And at the end, you have so many more achievements, or that instead of playing that video game that you can finish, why not do one that never ends, and you get even more joy from it, you know?
Beautifully than you ever would. Yeah. It's kind of the value in playing the game and not getting the cheat code to jump to the end, right? Because that's where you uncover those rocks, those gems, like you said.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, I think there's so much wisdom, Constantine, in what you have to share as a student who has kind of gone down the challenging path of building confidence rather than just kind of continuing to skirt by. And so I think for our listeners who are often, school administrators, teacher leaders, folks in the education industry, I think it's really valuable, the insights that you've shared from a perspective that that is, I think, quite unique compared to what most of us are talking about. So you can learn more about Constantine's story and also the Confidence Project and the Confidence Cycle. This is for our listeners here, by checking out Joshua Faden's book, The Confidence Project, A Journey Through the Confidence Constellation. Thank you, Constantine, for joining us today. I was tripping over my C's there. Are there any parting words of wisdom you'd like to share with us and our listeners, Constantine?
I would just say that there's no such thing as being done learning, as I said, and if you ever have if you're a student that's maybe listening, there's nothing that's gonna be boring. Like, it would take a lot for something to be 100% boring and for you to not to invest your full time and full focus, because you have no idea what it can give to you, and you have to take it from me, because I've had these books that I've completely neglected. Then once I've actually gone through and read it, now I have so many more. I'm so grateful for having read it or having learned it, because it gives me another so many more values. So I would say always take before you make any, don't make any judgments, because none of these judgments are ever fair. Because they don't take into value, you don't realize how many people spend their lives studying these certain things. And yeah, if you think to yourself, why do they spend their lives studying this? It has to be for a specific reason, you know? So I would say anything you see that you deem as challenging or you deem as unworthy of taking up your time, I would advise to just think again about it, you know? Mm.
Wonderful. I think that's beautiful advice, to really think things through before dismissing them. Well, thank you again so much, Constantine, for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Constantine. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Josh and I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode of Amplifying Optimism in Education. Please join us next week for another new episode and conversation with an innovative educator from around the world.